Proverbs 22:4 reads, "The reward of humility and the fear of Yahweh is riches and honor in life." Now, the reason we continue to do this faith, to maintain the faith, to walk down this pathway, is not for riches, it's not for honor, but it is for life. We all seek eternal life. We hope that one day Yahweh will grant us entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh, into that age to come. But humility must precede it. Again, in the NIV, it says, "Humility and the fear of Yahweh bring wealth and honor and life." And that's what we seek for. Humility, once again, is the source, is the first thing that we must do if we're going to worship and serve Yahweh properly. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. This section we know fairly well. The passage deals with the ministers, but it also goes further than that when you look at it closely. 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Messiah, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock of Yahweh which is among you, exercising the supervision, not of constraint." Now, we looked at this just recently, but the admonition for ministers is to take care of the sheep, to look over them and to care for them, to watch over them and to protect them in a loving, caring way. "Not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of Yahweh, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." There's a preparedness that's required. "Neither as despots over the charge allotted to you," not trying to reign over people, "but lovingly caring for them, making yourselves examples to the flock." You know, it's always stated that if you're going to be a leader, then you lead by example. And so people should look at you and be able to see that you are the way that you're trying to encourage them to be. Whether it's the head of a company, whether it's the head of an organization, whether it's the head of a family, whether you're head of some select group that you're a portion of, anyone who's in that position that wants the other people to behave a certain way, to act a certain way, to accomplish certain things, must first be that way themselves, making yourselves examples to the flock. "And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, be subject to the elder. Yes, all of you gird yourselves with humility." Note, this isn't only now speaking of the ministers. It says, "All of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Anytime that we exhibit any kind of pride, Yahweh is going to resist any petition we have, any attempt we have to get close to him. But he gracefully deals with those individuals that are humble. You know, we won't turn there, but you can think back to David's petition in Psalm 51, when it says he mentions that he was a broken and a contrite spirit. That's humility. That's saying, "I did something wrong. I'm willing to acknowledge that I did something wrong, and I want to make amends for it as best as I possibly can." That is humility. That is how we have to deal one with another, and especially with Almighty Yahweh. Again, humility is the first thing that we have to concern ourselves with. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time." If you bring yourself down, Yahweh will lift us up. Now, we don't humble ourselves so that we can be lifted up, but that's what he's saying here. Those individuals who humble themselves will be raised up, will be looked upon in a very good light. And, you know, you can think about the people around us once again. And those people who humbly do things are the people that we tend to look at and admire in some kind of way, or acknowledge that there's something special about them. If you think about the people that you work around, or family members, or just general associations, those people that we tend to put in a favorable light tend to be humble people. And that certainly is the case. "Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." You know, we all get anxious. Every single one of us get anxious when we're in a difficult time. That's human nature. But what happens when you're humble is you try calmly Note I say try, and note I say calmly. But you try calmly to relax yourself, and you place your trust in Yahweh. That's submitting ourselves to Him. That is humility. That is allowing Yahweh to do what He needs to do in our lives and with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And we want to be on guard at all times. And I think this, and I'm not going to read through to the end of the passage, but it's interesting that the caution is given to be watchful and cautious right after the concept of humility is given. Because Satan wants us all to be proud and arrogant, as he is. He wants us all to stand up against situations and circumstances, to be stiff-necked, as we saw over in Deuteronomy 10. He wants us to have that kind of an attitude. Because if you have that attitude, you can never listen to Yahweh. You can never bend to His will. You can never allow the hard part of our heart to be cut away. You know, humility in the scriptures is frequently and closely associated with meekness. Now, they're two different concepts. And that's interesting. I had never really thought about it, but they are two different concepts. If you look in Ephesians 4,